The following broadcast is from the best of Take 12 Recovery Radio. This is a holiday special.
On the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
If you're trying to find a way out of a hole, this is the place. Have a laugh and save your soul.
Yes.
This is the place. Don't have to put your needs on sustaining in line. No ticket to buy, no paper to sign. You found it.
That's right.
This is the place.
You've tuned into the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show. Denver is here.
Howdy.
Roger is here.
Wonderful Monday morning to you all.
And the topic, when others party, what am I supposed to do? Ho, ho.
Just don't drink. Walk, walk if you're ready. Where I wear no mask, I am who I am, not part of the past. Get a little taste of saving grace. Welcome to the human race. Come on in, this is the place.
The place is KHLT Recovery Broadcasting. The show is the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show with Denver Wolf and Roger McDermott on the phone from Southern California. This is Denver's very favorite time of year.
Oh, man. Oh, don't get me started.
He is just jolly and happy and excited to experience the hustle and bustle of the holidays. Right, Denver?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one word for it. Well, that's quite a few words for it right there.
All those little Christmas clips there in the beginning, I thought Denver was going to throw up.
Well, yeah, you know, it's
I liked them.
I need a bucket.
It's a bit much. At work, we play them from the time I get there until quitting time. Yeah, so I got 5 hours of Christmas music constant. For five hours.
For 5 hours, yeah. You liked it, huh, Roger?
Yeah. I liked it. I'm going to start calling Denver Scrooge.
You should.
Yeah.
I'm
Ebby. Call him Ebby. Ebenezer.
Grinch is my favorite. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, so.
I look good in green.
I personally love Christmas music. I just think it's wonderful. I'll sing it all year long. I mean, not really all
That's
year long,
weird.
But every once in a while, one will just pop out as I'm walking down the hallway or something. And so then when Christmas and the holidays come along, I'm in a really good mood. I like it. This is my philosophy on it. Happiness is overrated because it's based on your happenings going on around you. Serenity, now that's the ticket. I can have serenity regardless of the happenings going on around me, and there's lots of happenings going on during the holiday season. You would think that with the reports, I don't know if it's fake news or not, but the reports of all these ships off the coast of whatever, not being able to get products to us, and all the reports of the empty shelves in stores, guess what? I'm not seeing that.
No.
I'm not seeing that. The shelves are full. People are packed even more than they've been in the past. The parking lots, you cannot find a place to park. I don't know what's going on, but people are spending lots of money, and Christmas hasn't missed the beat as far as merchandising goes that I can see. Denver, have you seen that? It's busy, busy, busy. Everybody's running around.
Well, I'm trying to avoid the hustle bustle right now.
But it's happening, isn't it?
But I'm telling you, when I go to get a gallon of milk, that parking lot is full. People everywhere.
Yeah. Even though the prices have gone up on things. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, prices have gone up. Yeah. I mean, it hasn't really hit me that hard. But
yeah, gallon of milk's like $4.50 or something like that now.
Yeah. Well.
Jeez. Is it busy time as usual for the holidays down in Southern California, Roger?
Oh, yeah. I think the issue is that everybody coming out of quote-unquote pandemic.
Hibernation.
Yeah, I think everybody's looking for opportunities to get together to do things to celebrate, to have a joyous time. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that people are running around like crazy trying to make this a special holiday season.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah. I hope so, too. Which brings me, I mean, this is a perfect time to do this right here. Mm-hmm. Indeedy. Where yet?
He's looking for
there it is.
And now, it's time for the Monty Man's weekly whine. Because he always has something to whine about.
Stop crying.
Okay.
Indeed. Okay, time to throw a restaurant under the bus.
All right, here we go.
McMinimum's? I can never say it right. We went to McMinimum. First of all, we went to the second annual Gnome Festival in Sherwood, Oregon on Saturday. And afterwards, we went to lunch at McMinimum's. McMinimum's, yes. Which is supposed to be, these majorly amazing burgers and seafood and all this stuff. It took an hour and 15 minutes from the time we sat down to the time that we got our meal.
And you stayed there?
Well, I mean, the longer you're there, you're invested, right? You don't get to leave. The waiter was nice enough, but... Colin got up and went back to the restroom, and he peeked in the kitchen. They had two cooks on. It wasn't that crowded. It was terrible. My fries were cold, and they were like real potato fries, not the mushy ones, right? So they would have been nice if they had been hot. The burgers were probably half the size as normal, and the prices were horrible. $83 for three hamburgers and fish and sticks.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that deserves a Bah Humbug.
Yeah. So McMinimum's.
Oh, man.
McMinimum's, you don't get any stars, let alone one. Yeah. So that.
And we hope you're listening.
Right. Yes, I really do. Because I tell these folks, I'm going to do a review on Google. And I have a radio program, too, so, you might, and by the way, your tip, it just tipped over. I'm sorry, I don't believe in tipping when everything goes south. I just don't. Now, I mean, my son says, you always tip. I go, no, I don't. Maybe you do, but I'm a snob when it comes to that. If it used to be you gave the money first to ensure prompt service, right? Boy, I'm sure glad we didn't give them any money first. That's what I got to say. Humbug. Well, everybody can have a bad day. True.
Don't need to shirt.
But though. not on my watch, baby.
Don't need to shirt.
Not when I'm... Okay. But the opposite of wines, of course, are wins. And there we go.
Well, what do you know? Monty Man has got something to holler and hoop and cheer about. Because he's really happy about this thing that he calls the weekly win. That really never happens weekly. It very seldom happens at all. But here you go.
That's right. Well, some really good news when it comes to refunds. So I ordered, and if anybody that is on, well, we do have a lot of followers on Facebook, you will notice that I posted a picture of our brand new, how'd you pronounce it? Breville?
Breville.
Breville. No, but it's a B. B-R-E. Breville. I think it's...
No, I said Breville.
Oh, you said Breville? Okay.
That's why I said model cars. I thought it was Revell.
Oh, no, it's Breville or Breville. Espresso machine. And every year I buy myself an early Christmas present, much to my wife's. Really, you're going to do this again? I'm like, here, I could put this money in to part of the present, and then you can buy me the present. The rest, oh, forget it. I'll just buy it myself, and you can buy me everything else. And so she laughed, and there I went. So Bed Bath & Beyond had good Best Friday, what do you call it, Black Friday sales going on.
Best Friday.
And I went. But before that, I purchased, because I had a DeLonghi before, a special machine, which I gave to my sister-in-law, and I don't know why I gave that up, but I did. And so I trusted the brand, and I went and bought another one, but I bought a high-end one. And when I got it from Amazon, the pump didn't work. So then I did the backwards thing and started reading the reviews after I got burned. And the reviews were horrible, which I should have checked them out beforehand. Check the reviews beforehand, before purchasing. So Kohl's, clothing department store, does a really cool thing. They'll take any of your Amazon returns and they'll package them up. You don't have to do anything. You just go on the Amazon site and hit returns and then give them your email, and you click on the item you purchased, and then they'll send you a code. You go into Kohl's and they take care of it all.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So then you don't have to worry about mail or any of that stuff. And the notice I got was you won't receive your refund until 7 days after we've received your product back. Well, with the holiday mailing, it's going to be a long time before they get my product. And then I got to wait for them to send me the check or credit my debit card. So I went into, which is fine. I went into Kohl's, gave it to them. Within an hour, the money was back in my debit card.
Wow.
Within 1 hour.
There's a win.
That is a win, man. That is so good for you, Kohl's and Amazon, yeah, working together. I'm not real hip on this mail order stuff anyway, but that was good. Good experience. Zippity doo-dah. There you go.
Ho, ho, ho.
Roger, how is it down in Huntington Beach?
It's great. It's great. I wanted to hearken and agree with. I have Kohl's down here and had a similar issue.
Can you get closer to your phone? I'm barely picking you up.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. So I had a similar experience. I have Kohl's down here and I had to return something. I don't even remember what it was, but it worked out great. They take care of everything. I actually, while I was in the store, because I don't remember the issue, I actually called Amazon, was on the line. I was able to complete the whole transaction in minutes. And they took care of everything. It was absolutely one of the best displays of customer service and customer care that I've seen.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's impressive.
We need that nowadays.
Yep. We do indeed. We do indeed. Okay, I'm resetting my settings. So bear with me, folks. There we go. All right. Wow, that mic's really hot. There we go. That doesn't mean my mic is cute. My mic is really hot. Doesn't mean my... All right, I think we're good.
Back off, Jack.
Do 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 do. All right. So Denver, how's your week been? That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Chocked full of little surprises everywhere.
Yeah.
So
can you hear us okay, Roger?
I'm kind of
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay. We're a little muffled on here, but I had to do some adjusting on here to pick Roger up here. All righty. The topic, when others party, what am I supposed to do? What do I do when others party, especially during the holidays? And we'll come back with that right after this. Don't go away. Hey, listen, I'm a natural-born skeptic. And I wasn't any different when it came to CBD products until I personally experienced the safe and healthy CBD products of Exact Nature. Now, not only do these products contribute to a serenity of mind, relief of body aches and pains, and a quality night's sleep, but they may actually help those who are detoxing and experiencing withdrawal from certain mind-altering substances. And Exact Nature products, well, they never contain THC. So you won't get high, but you may just get to feeling better. To do what I did and find out more, visit exactnature.com. And once there, use the code TAKE12 to get 20% off your order just for tuning in to today's show.
Hey guys, this is Richie Supa, and you are listening to Take12Radio.com, recovery talk and positive music.
All right, welcome back to the show. I think I got my sound levels, I think my guy, well, let me see here about the doo-doo-dee. That sound engineer needs a new job. You're fired. What do you do when everybody else is partying? You know, this is a common question, especially for folks who are brand new to recovery. Everybody else is out having a good time. Maybe this is your first year clean and sober. And speaking of that term, clean and sober, I read a post. I'm going to go down a rabbit trail just for a minute, from a guy named Dr. Bob. He is very influential in the treatment recovery movement. He says he doesn't like that term, clean and sober. And I don't get it. Why not? I don't get it either. So Bob, if you're listening, tell us why.
You don't have the answer?
He doesn't like the term recovery either. Who knows? Anyway, so back to the show.
Well, you know what? Triggers bother me, that term.
That's a horse.
Well, it just, it always has bothered me.
Triggers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realize there are things that can set me off, but just the word trigger bothered me.
Does trigger bother you, Roger?
No.
What do you think of triggers? Do you think people use them as an excuse, or do you think they're valid, or do you think a little of both?
No, I think triggers are valid, but people can use them as excuses. As they can use the holidays as an excuse. They picked up the wrong cup. And oh my gosh, there was booze in it. So they said, you know, screw it and got drunk. That's not in recovery.
That's just the wrong cup.
That's for sure.
One of my friends, since I've been sober, you know, the last 25 years, he always said, starting around Thanksgiving, he said, whenever you go to a party, he would, you know, this is for people that are new or relatively new.
Right.
He said, make sure that you got your cup. And you keep it in your hand, and even if you have to put your name on it, but keep your cup in your hand so that you don't put it down and pick up the wrong one. And I thought that was, you know, when I first heard it, I thought, well, that's silly. But I really think that's not bad advice. That's good advice, because there are people out there that would, you know, pick up the wrong cup, take a sip, and then they think they've violated their sobriety, and so let's just go for it and jump into the punch bowl or whatever.
Yeah, and particularly if you plan on attending a party where everybody's stoned and drunk and everything else, you might want to do that. I say that tongue-in-cheek because, let's face it, there are people that still associate with their old friends on a regular basis in their old playgrounds. And I don't know too many of them that stay sober. very long, but on occasion I do hear of that. But even if you're not going to one of those, you know, parties where people are intentionally getting, you know, plowed, it is not uncommon to go to a relatively healthy party and somebody be serving, you know,
cocktails.
Especially if you're in, you know, depending on what kind of job you have, you know, you may be in a job that in a high rise somewhere where they do that every Christmas. Who knows? But here's the thing. People that are, particularly people that are brand new, it is difficult around this time of year because especially if you were a social animal, and that's one of the things you did. That was one of your main things, is that you hung out with your buddies, and during the holidays, you guys whooped it up. And in fact, in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it even refers to whooping it up. It even says you may even attend a good old-fashioned whoopee party, which means people are deliberately getting intoxicated. Whoopee parties. I don't understand how you can claim to be in fit spiritual condition and still want to attend an intentional whoopee party. But if you're brand new to recovery, you may not even understand what fit spiritual condition is yet. So I understand that it can be hard. You miss your friends, you miss your buddies. Maybe you have a family that drinks, particularly during the holidays. You don't want to alienate them. You don't want to not show up. I mean, so how do you get past this stuff? Because there are in early recovery triggers like that that can happen. Is there alternatives to the party lifestyle but sober? I think there is. I think the answer to when others party, what do I do? You party too. Just not in the same way.
Cheesecake
parties. you know, so I get, there are some within the 12-step fellowships that would say, no, you must avoid them at all cost. It is going to be a trigger for you. Don't go anywhere near it. Come here to the meeting. We're going to have marathon meetings. And just stay here where it's nice and safe and warm and you don't have any chance of relapsing. What do you think of that, Roger? I'm sure you've heard that before, right?
Yes. I think that's an individual sort of decision. I myself, you know, like it says on page 30 in the Big Book, we had to learn that we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we're an alcoholic, and this is the first step in recovery. Once I did that, I joined the I'm Not Drinking or Using No Matter What Club, and it didn't matter where I went, because everywhere you go, there's going to be those things. So that's my viewpoint. But when you're brand new, I think people need to talk about it and sort of play the tape forward. What happens if you find yourself at a function and there's alcohol being served? What are you going to do? You need to rehearse it and plan for it and know exactly what you're going to do if you're in that position, and then that's your plan,
right?
You know, I'm not tempted. My family drinks at holidays. I don't have any. I go lots of places where people drink. I don't have any issue with it whatsoever. As a matter of fact, where I am now in my sobriety, if you will, my spiritual place, mm-hmm. It validates the fact that I know why I'm sober, because I don't want to be like the people that I see that drink like I used to. It doesn't. There's nothing about it that I romanticize. There's nothing about it that looks fun. Nothing.
Right.
So that's the reality of it. So, but I think when you're brand new, you need to have discussions with your sponsor or with people that in the program that you trust, and take their advice, because you got to play it forward. If you show up someplace and there's lots of it going on, what are you going to do? You got to have a plan. It's all mapped out before you get there. And know precisely, I already made the decisions. You don't leave anything open to chance, and you don't leave anything open to quote-unquote triggers. That's, like I said, that's where I'm at. That's where I've always been at.
One of the things you can do is if it's permissible, if it's not rude, particularly if you've been told that you can bring a plus one, right, is bring somebody with you. Go together.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not gonna deliberately go to a party that I know that the purpose is to get smashed. I'm just not gonna do that.
No, no, me neither.
But there's a lot of people that get married this time of year because they want to during the holidays. There are otherwise healthy holiday parties where there may be champagne served or something like that. And if I can bring somebody with me, especially, you know, if I was in early recovery. Now, Marcia goes with me to most things anyway. It's just an automatic. It's not really, you know, I need my guardian with me or anything like that. It's just, we just go together. You know, most of the functions that we go to, alcohol isn't being served anyway. But if that did come up, I'm like you, Roger. It's like, it's no biggie for me. You know, the other people may be making fools of themselves, but I'm not worried about doing it myself because it just isn't a draw for me. There's nothing there that entices me. But I think that speaks to the fact that in our case here at the station, and you, Roger, is the obsession's been removed from us. You know, because we have cooperated with a power greater than ourselves, and he has rendered us white as snow because of that cooperation. And we have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and the obsession has been removed. So there is no trigger. But people that are new, probably if they're truly alcoholic, probably haven't experienced the obsession being removed yet. So it can be a sticky place.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What do you think about all this, Denver?
You might find my answer pretty boring.
Oh, let's do tell.
No, there's not really a lot to tell. Foolishness, and I know that comes with when I was drinking, and I didn't smoke a lot, but when I was drinking, I did a lot of foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't have a lot of time for foolishness anymore.
Yeah.
The older I get, the less I really need to partake or, I guess partake in it. I really just don't care to be around it.
Yeah.
So if I end up, and I do have family members that drink and everything, and I can go over to the Christmas dinner or whatever function is going on.
Sure.
And spend a little time and visit. But I don't hang around, and when it gets wild, that's why I drive myself, because I'm ready to leave.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around it. It's not that I'm worried about it,
right,
per se, but I don't want to be around it. I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So I just dismiss myself politely and go on with my other business.
It's interesting, too, that my experience has been I don't know anybody on any kind of intimate level at all that drinks for the purpose of intoxication.
Drunk.
Like I did, you know, in my college days, right? I just don't know them. So for me, again, it's, you know, you show up at the party or the event, and it just happens to be there. It isn't for the purpose of getting, you know, smashed.
There's a lot of people that can enjoy a cocktail or two. That was not my resume.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you an example. So when we went on, when Marcia and I and the boys went to Yosemite on our vacation, we stopped off at my good friend Ray's house. And this is a bunch of Eagle Scouts that are all adults now, that we've all stayed in scouting and we're still registered in scouting, and we've had this camaraderie since we were all in junior high. And there's a group of us, about 8 to 12 of us, that have kept in contact all these years. Well, I went there, and one of the gentlemen was having a good time.
Whoopee.
There was a couple guys that were sucking on a beer. And I think they probably had the same beer the whole 4 hours we were there. Maybe a second one. I didn't even notice, really. But this one gentleman, he was laughing it up, and he thought he was just something else. And, you know, but nobody judged him. Nobody said, you know, so-and-so's had a few too many or any of that kind of stuff. he was very pleasant, but it was obvious that, you know, he was getting some help, having a good time. And it was interesting because I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. He wasn't being stupid. You know what I mean? He was just having a good time. He wasn't falling down drunk or any of that kind of thing. He did talk a little bit more than everybody else, but that's just kind of him anyway.
He needs a radio show.
Yeah, he needs a radio show, right? But I mean, it was one of those things I noticed, wow, this really doesn't bother me. And we had a pleasant time. It was a barbecue, so there were beverages. But you know, to tell you the truth, other than actually seeing him, I really didn't notice. I didn't notice where the beer, you know, the whatever you call those buckets, you know, they put ice in them and stuff. They're like half barrels or whatever. There was one of those by the barbecue. I really didn't even notice it until we were getting ready to leave. So, I mean, it just wasn't a deal. And we had a very good time. Yeah. So there you go. Weddings, you know, I can go and pay my respects. And if there is a lot of drinking, I mean, to the point of over-celebration, I can pay my respects and then I can go. I can leave. And I think you should be able to do that. But what are some of the alternatives to guarantee that there's not going to be any booze? Roger?
Well, certainly in the community of recovery during the holidays, there are all kinds of AA and other functions that are completely sober functions. And they're fun. And they're fun to attend. So that's certainly a safe place to go. Now, I think in terms of other things you mentioned, so like Denver said, take your own car, you know, take somebody with you, run the tape forward before you go to a function if there's going to be drinking and whatever, all those things, you know, sort of pre-plan what for the newcomers, for the people that are relatively new, if like you mentioned, if the obsession has not been lifted, that may not even be a place that you would want to go. I mean,
right,
if you have no business to be there, then don't go there. Because if you have no reason to go, then you shouldn't go. Because what you're doing is opening yourself up. You're actually putting yourself in a position to fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all those kind of safeguards, you know, run the tape forward, all those things, pre-plan, you know, like I'm in sales, so you do pre-call planning. Well, pre-party planning, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You need to have a chat with yourself and your sponsor or someone, the spiritual advisor, and chat about anything like that and talk through it. Talk through it and come to conclusions and make decisions ahead of time. So it's all mapped out. There's nothing left to chance.
And you may be very surprised to find out that you're not really missing anything, depending on what the party
that's
is.
I would tell them for sure. I could, you know, we all have a lot of experience in that realm. And I tell people all the time, I said, you take me someplace where as Denver said, foolishness and craziness and whatever's going on, there's nothing attracting or enticing to me whatsoever.
Right.
Because what happens to me is I hearken back, I was those people. I was the one that perpetrated and did all those things. And there's nothing about it, about that part of me that is romantic.
Yeah.
At all.
Romantic, that's a nice word.
So there, depending on where you live, there's all sorts of activities, especially during the holidays, that you can do and take other sober folks with you. One of the things up here in the Portland area is there's a paddle boat dinner that you can go on. And I think it's one of the last paddle boats in the United States is up there in whatever that outlet is there where I was going to say where all the water is.
Columbia.
That runs through, is that the Willamette? That one runs
is it
through,
out of Portland or where is it?
Yeah, out of Portland, yeah. They got an old paddle boat. My son, my youngest boy and his wife went on it, I think, last night or the night before. They you know, you get a meal, there's some entertainment, and you just enjoy going down the river and seeing all the boats. You know, the boats are all lit up with Christmas lights and that kind of thing at night, and it's all reflective off the water. It's very pretty. But that's a safe thing you can do. You know, there's all sorts of safe stuff you can do and actually party. I mean, party's not a bad word, for crying out loud.
Word.
In fact, the word alcohol is not a bad word. It's just the name of something.
Right.
We need to get over that kind of thing. There are certainly marathon meetings that you can go to. If you go to a few of those and you quickly get tired of hearing the meeting format, there are AA and NA and Celebrate Recovery dances. Alcoholics for Christ up in Washington has this huge festival they put on. There's all sorts of clean and sober activities that you can go to. And if you've never been, you'll be pleasingly surprised and you'll say, wow, these people are actually having a good time and they're not getting any assistance to do so.
Yep.
I remember one of my first activities was going camping with a bunch of folks from Narcotics Anonymous. And I was blown away. There was no drinking around the campfire. There was a lot of, you know, eating chocolate and marshmallows and graham crackers and things, but there was so much joking and laughter and, you know, people falling off their logs and just laughing so hard. I mean, it was incredible. So the next year I went, I took the boys with me, or our oldest boy with me. And when our other son was born, we all went, and every year it was great. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that you can do. And you don't have, just because everybody else is having a party doesn't mean that you have to miss out on the party.
Not at all.
You really don't. What's the most fun thing you've ever done, Denver, in clean and sober? Oh, nothing. Okay. I forgot. He's the Grinch.
This is kind of off base, but I want to mention it, is that most of my activities are done in the daylight now.
Interesting.
I'm not a night person anymore, because night seems to, where I come from or have been, associated with partying, with alcohol, you know. So my activities, a lot of it revolve around craft sales, belt sales, and things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just, I don't have a desire, like we've all said here, to be with the party crowd, alcoholic party crowd, anymore. And the word party to me doesn't really strike me as a... I can laugh and everything else. I don't consider me to be a party person anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I can go into a function, visit, socialize a little, and then I'm very happy to go ahead and escape away.
Well, listen to this, and we'll comment on it. I'll ask Roger to comment on it first. Check this out.
The idea of being a sociable person is nowadays heavily associated with finding enjoyment in going to, and in all likelihood also in giving, parties. To be sociable means welcoming the idea of being in a room replete with an above-average number of other guests, many of whom will be unknown, most of whom will be holding a glass of alcohol, bantering with lights lower than they normally would be, and music somewhat higher than required in order faithfully to catch the details of another's voice.
Four.
Parties have become synonymous with sociability because of certain underlying ideas about what true social connection might require and entail. We assume that sociability naturally springs up when lots of people are put together in a room, that it means speaking a lot, and notably cheerfully, about things that have been happening in our lives. Our default mode is to lie about who we are and what's really going on in our lives.
What do you think, Roger?
No, I think it's very insightful what he had to say. I was captured immediately by his accent. So,
yeah.
You know, where I am today, like the book says, being in a fit spiritual condition, you know, having our daily reprieve, I can have a party with myself anywhere I go, because that's where I'm at today. But if we're some of the best times I've had are, I've had men's retreats. You know, our churches all have functions too, by the way, that are going on during the holidays that are great fun. And it could be live music, all kinds of different functions, toy drives for kids, you know, all kinds of things. So the concept of being of service during the holidays is a very freeing thing alcoholics and addicts. When they do it, they have no idea how blessed they are as a result of it.
Right.
It's the antithesis of our problem, which is self-centeredness. And when we do that contrary action, we are truly blessed, and you can party hardy when you're in that frame of spirit. So some of the family trips I had, I have fun wherever I go because I choose to. You know, happiness is a choice. Serenity is a direct result of your spiritual condition. And so I've had family trips to Hawaii 3 years ago. It was a blast. I've done road trips with my son to Arizona where we chase reptiles and amphibians all over the place and do hiking and go to places that you would never see before, you know, God's creation. So, you know, I think the horizon for having fun and partying, however you want to define that, is endless. You can have a good time with your Bible in meditation. It's a frame of mind and a reference point to what's our psyche all about. So that's where I'm at.
I remember being convinced that I needed to alter my state of consciousness in order to have a good time, which led me to consuming large amounts of alcohol before I ever got to the party.
Yeah, me too.
Because I you know, heaven forbid that I don't get my fair share once I get there. You know, and there were
what a lie.
Yeah, right. Talk about self-centered. And many times I didn't get there.
Me too.
Been there.
I remember going to a Santana concert, and in Oakland, California, Day in the Green. It was Santana and Toto and Loverboy and Journey, and Santana was the headliner, and I think it was Scorpions and Iron Maiden. I mean, the thing was, like, it was going on all day into the early evening. And I remember our friend Terry, we were all in line to get in, and these lines were gigantic. I mean, they went halfway across town. I mean, they were huge. And we lost him. Where'd Terry go? And Terry liked to drink a lot. But when we came out of the concert, because we never did find Terry, we found him sleeping under a pickup truck out in the parking lot. And I have to say, you know, not proud of it, but that happened to me a few times. Didn't sleep under a pickup truck, but I didn't make it to the event.
Party of one.
Party of one, yeah. Monty, party of one, your table's ready. Where are you? Oh, he's under the table.
He's under the table.
Yeah, under the table.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but the point is there's no reason just because everybody else is having a party that you can't have one too.
Absolutely. I've had more fun, and I've gone to hundreds of concerts in my life. And I, like you, Monty, thought everything that I did would be enhanced if I was, smoking pot or hash or drinking or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I've come to realize that that's an absolute lie, a complete and total lie. I've had way more fun at the concerts I've attended and all the functions that I've done sober than the functions that I did under the influence. Completely had more fun and had no reasons to have to make amends or apologize for my behavior or anything else that I did the night before the next day. Now I'm just ranting and raving about how good it was, and I can't wait to go to the next event.
And I think this speaks to the whole happiness versus serenity thing too. When you can experience serenity, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're having a good time.
Correct.
Happiness is based on your happenings. And so when my happenings match up with my feelings, that's wonderful. But that isn't always the case. It just isn't, you know. And, it's been a big eye-opener for me. One of the things I love doing, and my youngest boy, I know he chuckles at it and, oh, dad, and all that stuff, but it's the pride of a father who's proud of his son. You know, we'll get online, and because his church, where he's the worship pastor, is out of town. And before we go to our church here, Calvary Chapel Corvallis, we'll watch the worship service at Family Life Center in Newburgh. And watch Pastor Colin, my son, and just sitting there watching him lead worship. I mean, to me, that is a party in a party. I'm sitting there in my chair just beaming from ear to ear, you know. I would have missed all that if I kept partying the way I used to. Would have missed
it. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Denver, any last thoughts on when other people party, what do I do?
Well, I'm trying to enjoy myself in life, and sobriety goes, it enhances it, like you guys said. Remembering and not having to apologize for the night before, because there was a lot of evenings I had to hang my head and do that little shame walk and either apologize or put it off, and they just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
So.
Did you ever have anybody say to you, Denver, do you remember doing this and
oh,
that?
Oh, Monty.
And you
oh,
and you yeah. was you're like, there's
oh,
no way
goodness.
I did that.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I more than my fair share of time.
Yeah.
People have go, do you even remember what you did?
Right.
No, I didn't. You know, I still got all my fingers, so I guess I'm okay, right? And they go, no, you weren't okay.
Mm.
You were out of line. So, yeah. Eating humble pie got to be pretty old.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'll stick with the cheesecake nowadays.
So when you stay sober and you party, there are no blackouts.
Correct.
Yeah, good news.
It's wonderful memories. Wonderful memories, yeah. And relationships, and you see God at work. It's hard to put into words and do it justice. It's so good.
It's clear.
That's what you try to share with the newcomers, you know. Just walk this walk. Give it a year, and then tell me if you don't appreciate and love what's going on in your life.
Things are better this way.
Oh, so much better.
They are. We had a Thanksgiving get together at our house, and this is the first time in several years that our whole family was together. And one of the members of our family, who's quite a bit younger. Nobody in our family, in any of our family, drinks except for this, well, two people. One maybe has a glass of wine once every 2 years or something, and he's a pretty young guy. The other one is his sister, who I don't know if she drinks on a regular basis. I don't think she abuses it from everything that I've seen, but she called up and asked Marcia, my wife, Would it be okay if I brought a festive bottle of wine? I'm not sure what that means, a festive bottle of wine versus one that's not festive. It wouldn't matter. I mean, when I was drinking, they were all festive.
Yeah, pop the top. It's going to get festive.
You know, and she's just not aware, recovery-focused aware, I guess, that if she wants to have a glass of wine, I don't care. But because it's not, I had to get over a long time ago that there are people that can do that, you know, can't have a resentment over that. But nobody in our family drinks at all other than her brother. And Marcia said, seriously, you're asking us that? Well, her intent was she didn't want to offend me because I'm the only one in the family that is a recovered alcoholic. That was her intent. But it was kind of like a no-brainer. No, you'd be the only one having a drink, and we really don't have alcohol in our home in any way, shape, or form. We just don't. It's been a policy of our house for a very, very long time. It's just not there, you know. And so she was fine with that. She was, oh, okay, that's fine. But she made mention of it. Somebody said something about bringing a cake or something like that. She goes, well, I politely asked if I could bring a festive bottle of wine, but the answer was no. You know,
find that humorous. What does that mean? A festive
bottle? I know.
Is it
as opposed to an unfestive?
Is it bubbly or flat?
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't think she's an alcoholic, because if she was, it would all be festive, right?
I mean, she would have snuck it in.
Right. And it's funny, one of our students at Adult and Teen Challenge, which for those who don't know, is a 12-month men's residential drug and alcohol recovery program. He got a present on his birthday from somebody, and it was a flask. And they sent it to the Adult and Teen Challenge Center.
Oh, my goodness.
And his name engraved on it. And I showed it to him, and I said, look what you got for your birthday. He just busted up. He goes, why would anybody send me that? Because everybody knows that I have a problem with alcohol. I said, well, maybe it was a tongue-in-cheek joke. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, can you put coffee in it? I don't think so.
Right.
And it doesn't hold enough for an alcoholic.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Any closing thoughts from you, Roger, on this topic of when other people's party, what do?
I just want to wish everybody that's out there to be safe and sober and clear-minded during this time. You know, you're in charge of your future and your destiny. Make good decisions. Take all precautions that one needs and pray about everything and don't worry about anything and have a wonderful holiday season with you and your family.
I want to give a special shout out to one of our listeners who is a good friend of mine, a good social media friend on social media. She keeps in regular contact with me, and she's always so sweet and has nice things to say. And she's one of those positive people on Facebook that, you know, it's just a pleasure to hear from. Her name is Debbie Fry, and I think she's from Wisconsin. And I encourage her to listen to the show today. Debbie, hey, thank you for all the kind words all the time and the encouragement. And you are appreciated. I hope you have a very, very happy holiday season. Merry Christmas to you. Well, the whole COVID thing doesn't seem to be hindering the shoppers or people that celebrate the holidays. They're all over the place. Mask or no mask. I know a lot of places are very politely asking you if you have a mask. Do you have a mask, sir? Yes, I do. It's in my pocket. Denver's holding his up. But I thought, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself, Rule 62, right? If you can't laugh at yourself, I remember Candid Camera with Alan Funt. The theme song went, you know, can you laugh at yourself like other people do? You know, I mean, if you can't laugh about this crazy time that we're going through, you really need to hit the reset button on your life. So here you go. Our closing song for this show is called The 12 Days of Quarantine.
Oh, boy.
On the first day of quarantine, my true love gave to me a rapid test for COVID-19. On the second day of quarantine, my true love gave to me two pairs of gloves and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the third day of quarantine, my true love gave to me three cloth masks, two pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the fourth day of quarantine, my true love gave to me four ventilators, three cloth masks, two pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the fifth day of quarantine, my true love gave to me five new vaccines, four ventilators, three cloth masks, two pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the sixth day of quarantine, my true love gave to me six rolls of TP, five new vaccines, four ventilators, three cloth masks, two pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the seventh day of quarantine, my true love gave to me seven sanitizers, six rolls of TP, five new vaccines, four ventilators, three cloth masks, two pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the eighth day of quarantine, my true love gave to me eight shows for binging, seven sanitizers, six rolls of TP, five new vaccines, four ventilators, three cloth masks, two pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the ninth day of quarantine, my true love gave to me 9 new restrictions, 8 shows for binging, 7 sanitizers, 6 rolls of TP, 5 new vaccines, 4 ventilators, 3 cloth masks, 2 pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the 10th day of quarantine, my true love gave to me 10 hours of teaching, 9 new restrictions, 8 shows for binging, 7 sanitizers, 6 rolls of TP, 5 new vaccines, 4 ventilators, 3 cloth masks, 2 pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the 11th day of quarantine, my true love gave to me 11 conspiracy theories, 10 hours of teaching, 9 new restrictions, 8 shows for binging, 7 sanitizers, 6 rolls of TP, 5 new vaccines, 4 ventilators, 3 cloth masks, 2 pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19. On the 12th day of quarantine, my true love gave to me 12 beers for drinking, 11 conspiracy theories, 10 hours of teaching, 9 new restrictions, 8 shows for binging, 7 sanitizers, 6 rolls of TP, 5 new vaccines, 4 ventilators, 3 cloth masks, 2 pairs of gloves, and a rapid test for COVID-19.
And if that song offends you, maybe you're one of those folks that walks around offended all day anyway, right? And maybe you ought to bone up on Rule 62. And if you don't know what that is, well, maybe you ought to hang out with some people who do. Until next time, this is the Monty Man along with the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing you a very safe, sane, and sober holiday season, reminding you that happiness is overrated, but serenity, that's the ticket. Therefore, we are wishing God serenity for you. Come on in.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
This is the place.
Kitty, 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 kitty. Meow, meow, meow.
Woof, woof.